The last time we got together for Matthew in 24, we read verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, when you see it stand in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then, verse 16, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. When you see the abomination of desolation, Jesus is speaking of it as if it is a future event. You're going to see it. When you see that, notice, he says, run away. Who should run away? Those of you that live in Texas? What does the Bible say? Those of you in Judea should run away. Why? Well, we'll talk about it in a second. But he says, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. No matter what you're doing, when the abomination of desolation, which you'll read about excuse me, in the book of Revelation chapter 13, or you can read about it in the book of Daniel, verse 27. When that takes place, which is a future event, you that are in Judea should flee. Who's he talking to? Who? You see, if you confuse the church with Israel, then you're going to be confused about what else is going on. And if you start to confuse them, you're not going to be able to tell the players. And you're going to begin to believe the church is on the earth during the tribulation period. Many people teach that. I think the Bible does not teach that, but many people do. And I clearly hear you that are in Judea. Now, if you live in Pennsylvania, I don't know that there'll be any real need for you to run and hide in the mountains of Israel. Or in Jordan. Yet that's what people are teaching. Although there is one guy on the radio, I love to listen to his accent. He's from Waxahachie, Texas. When you know, he says that that the elect are going to hide in Texas. I don't think so. But whatever. Let them that are in the Mount Judea flee to the mountains. Don't be concerned about taking anything with you. When that abomination of desolation that we read in Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist and the false prophet, when that image is set up in the Holy of Holies, and he's going to be worshipped as God and even have them worship the image of himself, when that is set up, he's telling the Jews, don't even wait to see what's going to happen next. Get out. People are funny. People are funny the way they do things. You know, as you in the police department, you train a lot with handguns, with weapons, and you do a lot of training. And of course, it's like it's paramilitary organization, and so they're always yelling at you. It's kind of like you're in boot camp all the time while you're going through the academy. And while you're training in the academy, no matter how well you shoot, you get in trouble and have to do push-ups all day if you don't pick up the brass that you left. Those of you that are shooters, you understand what I'm talking about. There's brass that's left down there. You have to pick it up because it can be used to reload. And so if you don't pick that up, what's going to happen to you? You'll be doing push-ups for the rest of your life. So what do you think every young rookie does in the police academy? As soon as you shoot, before the next round, you pick up every bit of brass. Even if that guy has some, you get it, right? You know how many policemen have been killed in shootings? Because after they shot once or twice, they stopped to pick up the brass around them out of habit. Is that sad? Do you know how many people in Israel will be killed because they will not, when that abomination is set up, they won't just run. They want to stop and they want to watch. You know, when you ever see something, anything that takes place, if there's a crowd, people want to see what's everybody looking at. As kids, we used to do just like many kids would do. We would stand on street corners and look up. You know, three, four or five guys. You know, we're in junior high. Junior highers, they are so cool. We're staring up. And all the people that are driving by on the main boulevard there, what do you think they do? They slow down. And they look at you. But soon, they can't resist the temptation to do what? And you know what? People, they are so cool. Full-grown adults, as you're walking by, you're just staring. Thinking, I wonder how many people we can get here. And people that are walking by, stop. What are you guys doing? Not say a word. And there they go. I think I see it. There it is. What do you think people are going to do? Jesus says, when you see this, get out of the city. Get away. Don't even go back to grab a coat. Or don't, if you're on the rooftop, don't go down inside to take anything from the house. Get off, get out, get away. Now that's to the Jews. He says, woe to them that are with child and to them that are nursing children in those days. Woe to them. Oh, that'll be a difficult time to have a little bitty one, because you're going to be fleeing for your own life. And pray that your flight be not in winter, because that's a miserable way to have to travel. You forgot to get your coat. You didn't go back in to get anything. You're running away. It's going to be a miserable time. Neither on the Sabbath day. Now, come on, everybody. Who's he talking to? Jews. Now, if you had to run to the mountains in America and it was the Sabbath day, could you still stop for groceries anywhere in town? Yes, you could. This has got nothing to do with anybody but the Jews themselves. Yes, trouble will be all over the earth, but this is to the Jews. He's speaking to the Jews, not to the church. I'll show you what I mean. For then shall be great tribulation. Tribulation, the word means distress. Or literally, a great pressing together. Or we would say the word super pressure. Great pressure, distress, tribulation. On the earth, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. There will be such great pressure upon the earth, upon people. Great distress, great tribulation. So great that there has never been anything like it. Now remember how evil and ugly everything was before the flood? The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and his imagination and his thoughts were completely wicked. Constantly, all the time, mankind couldn't think normal good thoughts anymore. That's how messed up the world was. And God flooded and destroyed the earth and every living thing that had breath, except for 8 souls. And then, of course, 2 of the unclean animals and 7 of the clean. Yes, on that boat. And even this will be even greater pressure than in those days. Tribulation. Nothing like it has ever been, nor will there ever be anything like it again. Now, I listened to a program. I don't even know what the program was. Christian station, Christian radio. I listened to a program, and those people were saying, we're in the middle of the Great Tribulation right now. Oh, those people are in for a shock. If you think this is bad, there has never been anything like what's coming. Never. And it's so bad, God will never allow anything that much pressure, that much tribulation, that much distress. He will never allow it again. We're not in the tribulation period yet. It hasn't even begun. I hear people say, oh, well, we're getting ready. The church is going to go through the tribulation and we're stocking up. Stocking up? One third of humankind will die when one of the seals is opened. If there are 7 billion people on the earth today and the tribulation would begin, one third of them will die. And then after that one third dies, later on, when you see this, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls, when you get in there, after the one third are dead, then one fourth of people will die again. Now, if that happens within the next 7 years, we'll go from 7 billion people to 3.5 billion. 3.5 billion people are going to die if it happens coming up soon. And you're going to prepare for it? What? With stocks? Bonds? Gold? A generator? How do you prepare for something like that? I think there's more wisdom in heaven than that. The church will not go through the tribulation. I believe the Bible teaches that. But if you're thinking you're going to prepare for it, you're in for, oh my goodness, wake up and smell the Mitsubishi. I don't think there is a possibility to prepare for that kind of pressure. We can't done. We can't do it. We can't keep the power on when it storms. Yet. We can go to the moon, but we cannot keep electricity going. Today, in the times that we live, people are dying because it's hot. You've seen that? People are dying because it's cold. And this is the 1990s, and we're just about in the 2000s. And still we can't take care of that. But we're going to prepare to get through 7 of the worst years since history began. I think that we're just not paying attention to what God says. And I think God is so good to us. And we should be much more grateful than we are. He says this. You know, except those, verse 22, except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Man would commit suicide. Mankind would completely annihilate himself. There would be no human left on the earth. If those days were allowed to go past that 7 years, no humans would be left alive. We would commit suicide, the entire human race. Except those days be shortened. That's the tribulation we're talking about. That some people are planning to hunker down and make it through. What did President Johnson say? I remember Larry Taylor saying, President Johnson said, sometimes you got to be like a jackass in a hailstorm. You just have to bend over and take it. That's what I'm starting to hear coming out of the Christians. We're just going to get tough and we're going to take it. Wait a minute. Somebody came up to me last week, a couple of people, and they had good points. And I'm glad that they said it. I said, I'm glad you said it. Because I said, God's going to take His Holy Spirit away. And they say, will the Holy Spirit be gone completely? I mean, will it be completely dark? The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's going to seal 144,000. You're going to have the two witnesses. God will still allow people to come to a saving knowledge. The Holy Spirit will, at that particular point, be moved out of the way. And when I say taken away, don't get the picture that He's gone and the earth just is going to freeze over. But we want you to understand the point. When God pulls His Spirit, you have to understand how evil and dark and ugly and violent it's going to be. That's what we're trying to communicate. But yes, the Holy Spirit will work. But the only way I could describe it to them, and we'll talk about it when we get back to the book of Revelation, is that He will begin working again as He worked in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit has always been working, but He did not come upon an individual and stay there and take up residence and seal them like He has done with you, with the church. But God is so merciful. Except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. By the way, that includes animals too. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Okay, here's the question then. If the church is gone, who are the elect? The Bible teaches, and I know you've seen it as we've been going through Matthew, that there are three kinds, there are three on the earth who are called elect. Two are what you're used to dealing with. Israel, called God's elect, and the church, called God's elect. Who's Jesus speaking to? Those of you that are in Judea, run to the hills. Who's He speaking to? He's speaking to the Jews. Will there be Jews left on the earth during this tribulation period? I believe so. Is He speaking to the church? No, in this particular case, the church is not included. The church will be taken out of and away from the scene. But there's another group of elect that will be here. Besides the Jews, besides Israel, there's a church, and then there's a third group that can't even begin until the church is gone. And that group, we typically call, if you're looking for a name to call them, the tribulation saints. There are those who will come to Jesus during this great distress. And they are elect also. Now understand, I can't go long on this, but understand, and we will cover this in the Thessalonians and in Revelation, but understand that when you go to a wedding, there's someone who's officiating, usually. There are many guests, hopefully. There are people who have different jobs at the wedding. Somebody's going to run this table. Somebody's going to help with refreshments. Someone might, if there's a sound system, someone might do that. And those are important people, and the guests are important people. And there's the mom and the dad, and there's the grandparents sometimes. You have a lot of people at that wedding, and those people, they're in the same place, and they are all important. But how many grooms are there? I mean, if it's a normal wedding. I guess I should, I got to remember, you know, where this is the 1990. How many grooms are there? There's normally just one. How many brides are there? There should only be one. Now, no matter how many people love that groom, his best man, all his friends, his family, he is only going to marry one, and that's the bride. Do you understand the special place that you hold? When we get to that marriage supper, to the wedding, you are the bride. Others, people say, well, throughout history, what happens to those that are saved during the tribulation? They will be forever and ever with the Lord, but in a different position and capacity. You are the bride. There's only one bride. There's only one body of Jesus Christ, the groom and the bride. All the rest, Israel, they'll be at the wedding, some of them. Tribulation saints, saints throughout all history, but those who are part of the bride are those who come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. From the time he ascended to heaven until the time the church is taken out, only those are that special one. Well, for the very elect's sake, those days are shortened. God is giving us good news. These days will be cut short. It is for a limited time only that he will allow that kind of tribulation pressure on the world. Because he knows mankind can't handle it. And if you'd like to read through the book of Revelation, and you get some time on your own, understand it is the wrath of God, these 7 years, the wrath of God, the anger of God being poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. You have not been appointed unto wrath. But he is going to pour out his wrath. First, he promised to take his church out of and away from the scene. And then his wrath will be poured out. Those seals in heaven, you read it, there's no other way to interpret it. Those seals, they're being opened in heaven, and it is destroying the earth and causing disease and etc. You remember the horsemen of the apocalypse, and you remember all that. Understand that that is the anger of God being poured out on the world who has rejected his offer, free gift of life and life eternal. Well, he says this, if any man, verse 23, shall say to you, hey, look, here, the Messiah is over here, or he's over there, don't believe it. For there shall arise false messiahs, false Christs, and false prophets, and shall show, listen closely, great signs and wonders. The next major miracle worker that the world sees may just be the Antichrist. So all of you that are looking for all those miracle workers and going from spot to spot looking for this and that and the other, watch out. You're setting yourselves up for some real deception. Does God do miracles? Certainly. But he doesn't do circus acts. Can God heal and strengthen? Yes. But he's not in it for the applause. Or for the money. Or for the show. There shall be false Christs, false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Who are the elect on the earth at that time? The Jews. Tribulation saints. You know why you won't be deceived? Because you've got the Word of God. Even if a miracle took place right in front of you right now, you would not be fooled because you'd go look in the Bible to see. You'd still go check to see what God's Word says. Wouldn't you? Do this. I'll feel better. He says, behold, I have told you before it happens. God warned. Now, right today, even though we haven't entered the tribulation yet, I think there are false signs and wonders going on. Let me read to you a verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Two verses, I guess it would be. 2 Thess 2, 8 and 9. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Miracles, there will be real power, there will be real healings, there will be all sorts of power and signs and lying wonders. And people will listen to him and they will follow him. Not you. I don't even think you will see him. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, then, verse 26, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, don't go and look. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Don't believe it. Remember, I told you about that ad in the papers in 1982. They said, the Messiah is now here. Where is he? They said he lived in the Asian quarter of London. I didn't go look, did you? The Bible just told me. It's not him. Don't even go look. That's not the Messiah. How do you know? Well, because as lightning comes out of the east and shines to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, you may think that that means when he shows up, there's going to be lightning. What it means is, have you ever seen lightning? Let's just talk about it just a second before we share communion. Lightning, it's easy to notice, isn't it? Usually it clouds over, and so even in broad daylight, you see lightning. You see it. All Jesus is saying here is it will be a visible public event. All eyes are going to see Jesus Christ coming back, Revelation chapter 19. They're going to see him. You know, when it lightnings, there are some of you who have been in lightning storms. They're kind of cool. You just don't want it to get near your home. You know you're in a lightning storm. You know when there's lightning going on out there. It's a public event. He's not going to show up. There's not going to be some John the Baptist that's going to come out and say, I found the Messiah. Like Benjamin Krem says, he's the John the Baptist for Lord Maitreya there in London. He says, he's the Messiah and I'm speaking for him. No, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be a public event. We're going to see him. He's not going to sneak into London and then call CBS and say, you guys want to interview me? I've been hiding over here for 3 weeks. It's not going to happen. It's the wrong guy. He's not going to come out of India. He's not going to come out of some of Israel, like the Jews expect. No, he's going to come out of the sky. He's going to come back from heaven. And it's going to be a public event. You will see it. Well, you will be with him. But I mean, those who live here will see it. And then he says something that's kind of, it comes out of nowhere. At least it seems to. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. A carcass is a dead body. True? And I thought, now, what do you mean? I mean, out of nowhere, boom, as lightning from the east to the west, the Son of Man will come. When the Son of Man comes, what are you talking about, dead bodies? And here it says eagles, but the idea for dead bodies is the birds are going to eat up the dead bodies. See, where the dead bodies are, that's where you find the vultures and those birds that want to eat that kind of stuff. So when the Son of Man comes back, where do the dead bodies come from? What's he talking about? I believe Revelation chapter 19. I'll read you two verses out of Revelation 19. Verses 17 and 18. Jesus Christ is coming back. King of kings, Lord of lords. On that white horse. To rule and reign. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the air, in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. What does that mean? When the Son of Man returns, the armies will be there against Israel, ready to destroy and annihilate all that they can. And when the Son of Man returns, they're going to literally turn and try to stop God from returning to the earth. They're going to shoot at him with Stinger missiles and machine guns and anti-aircraft. They're going to shoot at God. And he's going to speak, the Bible says, and a sword, the word of the Lord, will destroy. Many will die that day who stand against the Lord. That, I believe, is what Matthew 24, verse 28 is saying to us. Wherever the bodies, dead bodies are, that's where the birds will gather together. Do you know Jesus Christ? The time to prepare for the great tribulation is now. The way to prepare for it is to plan to not be here. I really believe that people don't have a clue about how violent, how dangerous, how ugly it will be. And I know men think they're tough and they're going to all, men and women, and they're in shape and they're going to get through. It doesn't work that way. The wrath of God poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. And the Bible says, when we study Thessalonians, you're going to see, there will be no place to hide. I listen to Christians who are going to dig a hole and hide. There will be no place to hide. This is God's wrath poured out. Do you think people are going to hide from God? It can't be done. Where can you go that God doesn't know you're there? So before it takes place, we must be prepared. That, see, a wise man looks ahead and foresees evil and hides himself. Where is the Christian supposed to be hiding themselves? In Jesus Christ. We're going to share communion together now. Are you in Jesus Christ? If you are, before we share communion, how's your heart? Is your heart where it belongs? Have you forgiven? Have you forgotten? Put away the things, the bitterness, the frustration, the grief. I understand that the society we live in is so messed up that people are saying, I can't forgive. I can't. I can't get over it. I can't. It's going to take a program. Well, that may be true for some, but not for someone who has turned over their heart to Jesus. He said, cast all your, you come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll take it on. You take my yoke. Get off the yoke of the enemy, the devil. Take on my yoke. We are to cast all our cares on Him, for He cares for us. All of them. Not just the ones that you think, well, that one's pretty light, that one's easy. This one is going to take psychologists and doctors and lawyers. Wait a minute. All our cares. We're going to do something just a little different today with communion. What we're going to do is, as they hand the communion out to you, the bread first and then the cup, we're just going to play quietly up here, and we'll let everyone deal with God on their own. And after you've talked with Him and He's communicated with you, when you're ready, you take the bread on your own. You take the cup. You listen to Him. Let's get our hearts where they belong so that we can minister to the community and to the rest of the world. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, as we prepare to share this bread and this cup, speak to our hearts, change our hearts. In this moment of peace, Lord, change us. There are areas that are so devastating that we're convinced there will never be any help for them. But we should know better. Your word tells us differently. We can trust you. You died for the sins of the whole world, and you've risen again. Seated at the right hand of your Father. You're coming again to judge the living and the dead. Lord, we belong to you. As we share this communion, hear our hearts.